Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dr. Redmond.
And yeah, you are. That's what you are. Don't know why you're second guessing yourself. We're here for season two of Beyond Borders. All right, let's just jump right into it. We're not happy to be here. I don't know how you all feel about it, but we certainly were not relishing the opportunity to move on to the second season. But I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. So let's just get to it. What have we got? Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders. Start with the first episode.
Okay, what I will say just before I start
Oh,
with the
please.
first episode
Yeah.
is that none of them reaches the, of these three episodes, reaches the horrificness of the Cuba episode from last season.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about how safe they try to play it in these first two episodes, and then the third episode gets back to some classic Criminal Minds Beyond Borders hardcore xenophobia. But for the first two episodes, I was sitting there thinking, "Wow, have they just massively taken taken the hint that they were horribly xenophobic and racist the first year, and they fixed everything?" And then I get to episode three, and I'm like, "Oh no, that was just a fluke." I
I'm
mean,
just
we'll see if it
saying,
was a fluke when we get through the whole season, but
No. What I would say about number three is, though, it still doesn't rise to the Cuba.
well,
But
nothing will
anyway, we'll
ever
get
rise
there.
to the Cuba. It's a giant, like, it's an indictment of an entire country. It's really
Oh,
dis it's a disgusting episode of television. All right, let's go.
every never mind.
We already talked about it.
Lost souls.
Yeah.
Unit Chief Jack Garrett and his international response team are called to Tanzania when a 23-member church group disappears.
Okay. So, here's my question, and this is my response after I finished watching the episode. I don't get why any of this happened. The guy wanted to start a Jonestown-style commune in the woods of Tanzania, right? So why pull this ridiculous pretend to all disappear from a train thing? Like, why do any of that?
I don't know because in fact, I can't answer that question. I have a whole, like, I have little questions, right?
Yeah, no, we'll get into the, yeah, a little, but I mean, the big question
But
is,
the big,
I don't
why
get
did
why
he?
this happened.
No, particularly since you watch the end of it and you're just going, okay, so why didn't he just tell them all they were moving to Tanzania? Maybe
Yeah.
some of them wouldn't have wanted, he would have been able to find somebody who was willing to go to Tanzania.
There were
Now, mind
500
you,
people in Jonestown. Like, people will go off on this thing. They will say, "Oh, the war." I mean, the entirety of frigging post-millennial dispensationists is all, "Oh, the worldly. We will be corrupted by worldly things. We have to completely isolate ourselves." You know? Sorry, pre-millennial dispensationalists. Can't believe I said post there. That's embarrassing. Right? It's like they're like, "Oh, the world is corrupt. We have to separate ourselves from the world. Don't you let yourself be corrupted by worldly things."
Well,
I mean,
that's what these people are doing.
exactly. But that's my point. That's the core of their philosophy. So since that's the core of their, I call it a philosophy, cult's teachings. But anyway, like, if that's what these people believe anyway, why doesn't he just say to them, "We're all moving to Tanzania to live a godly life"? Guess what? All these people would have been happy to go.
Yeah, and they would never have told. You see, the only excuse you can make for him not telling them is that they were stealing.
Yeah.
Okay, they were stealing funds to
Yes.
set up this place in Tanzania, which apparently, I mean, I do not know where they ever got the idea. I'm sure that somewhere, but this is getting into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
But you know that we're. But I mean, he could have told them we're moving to the Garden of Eden in Tanzania. Well, first of all, why would you think that? No, the Garden of Eden was set in Mesopotamia,
Yeah.
between the Tigris and the
In the
Euphrates.
Euphrates. It's right there in the text, pretty obviously.
Well, it's not
Well,
in the
not the
text,
text.
but
It's, yes, it's historians.
when you start looking
When
at
the
it, that's where.
environment is described in the text, you're right. They didn't have the names Tigris and Euphrates at the time. They might have
But
had
anyway,
Euphrates. But anyway, but yes, like when they described in the text, it's very clear the kind of place they're talking about. And they've confused Garden of Eden with the way that what do you call the in this episode they confused biblical Garden of Eden with the anthropological concept of mitochondrial Eve lived.
Yeah,
and that's the part of Africa they're talking about.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm saying.
Like,
it boggles. Even here, she spent so much money.
Yeah.
And even here, they can't get their research right. No, this is where mitochondrial Eve, they assume that it's in this area that
there were first people, humans.
That the first Homo sapiens
humans evolved.
Probably began, right?
Yeah. And so the idea that a guy who's part of a church who doesn't believe in evolution would want to move to the place where mitochondrial Eve was from is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sitting there going, I can't blame it on that guy. I have to blame it on the writers.
Oh, like, it's 100% the writer's fault.
What did they think that? No, this
yeah,
is
they
a Christian
they got those two
church.
Concepts confused. It's a Christian church. They don't like people talking about the origins of humanity.
This is this sort of bizarro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was just sort of sitting there. Well, I have to bring up another little thing then while we're still talking about little things. Because
of course.
The whole episode doesn't make all that much sense.
Nope.
But I'm going, okay, so this train, did you see the train?
I did.
Has everybody, if people haven't watched this, taken our advice and not watched it, and they're waiting, okay, they're waiting to hear our podcast before they watch it. This is an old dilapidated train.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are going 400 miles.
Yeah.
In 4 hours.
I know.
That means, right, between 2:30, you see, because the guy checked on them at 2:30.
Yeah.
And at 6:30, when he checked on them again, they weren't there.
Yes.
Okay. So that's 4 hours. They went 400 miles.
Do you know what kind of a train you have to be to go 100 miles an hour?
Wait, no, they have to go more than 100 miles an hour because there are places like over the Trestle Bridge where they had to slow down.
Oh, God, you're right.
So this is a train that is doing 120. This is a super train in Japan. Does 130 miles an hour.
Basically a bullet train they were on.
They were on a bullet train.
Somehow.
To go 400 miles between 2:30 and 6:30 in the morning. I'm just like, I mean,
it's a minor point, but it's really true that not even that part of the episode makes sense.
Okay, like, that was bizarre. That was at the beginning. And then we get to the Garden of Eden, and I'm going,
that's not the Garden of Eden. But I mean, the thing is, these people are religiously illiterate.
Yes.
I mean, for the love of God, like, they're, I mean, when we get to the stuff with the cult at the end of season 13, oh my God, these people just know nothing about religion.
Yeah, well, we'll
get there. Don't worry. We're not in a rush.
I mean, said that, well, no, it's once they stopped, I mean, they pay no, if they didn't want to set themselves in the real world, I couldn't care less.
But they are.
If you want to be lost, be lost. But don't tell me. And then you don't do your research about the real world?
Well, okay. Anyway. Bothers me, right, is like there's no reason to not. Like there's no reason to not like do to not do the research. It's not complicated. Like you're doing a Jonestown style story. These guys, they go, and you know what? It within this kind of community, I doubt it would even cause anyone a problem within the community that you were stealing to set up your cult, because their whole thing is, well, we deserve to live off, you know, it's like it is our destiny to go and live a godly life in the Garden of Eden, blah, 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 blah. Right. Like that is our destiny. So whatever we have to do to get there is morally justifiable.
Yeah.
These people tend to not have strong ethical basis for anything they do. Just as not having a strong sense of ethics is kind of integral to American Christianity.
Well, a particular version of conservative.
Yes, this specific conservative evangelical Christianity. They like the Ten Commandments because it means they don't have to actually think about ethical systems.
And
oh, well,
even
I've just
then,
got a list of stuff that's good or bad to do. That's all I need.
But even then, they still can't follow thou shalt not kill.
Oh, of course not. No, they love thou shalt killing.
Shall we?
Enough murder.
Okay, and on the next episode we're going to do, we'll talk about the latest lynching.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this show. Okay. I mean, and it is still, you know, so they've got the Tanzanian, cop.
Yeah.
You know, kowtowing to,
just rolling over for the FBI immediately.
Rolling over for the FBI, kowtowing to him. And, you know, and so Garrett doesn't have to do his usual
threatening,
thing.
Threatening whoever he's there to work with. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, so as I said, you know, so you don't get that, but you still get, you know, and then is bringing up, well, they were raptured.
I know. Well, okay. Why weren't there clothes and possessions left behind then? Don't you know anything about the rapture? Of course, the show also doesn't know anything about the rapture, but that's another conversation.
Everything is left, and that's, you know, and then they go and they have, you know, the group of, it was just, you know, and the leader
he kills his main competition, because all cult leaders, it ends up being about building your own harem. Like, that's just, however it starts, it ends with building your own harem and either killing all the men or making them live as eunuchs. Like, that's how all of these cults end up.
Yeah, or, you know, you can sleep with your wife once a year or something.
Something
but,
ridiculous like that. But it's like, that's the core of what it all ends up being about, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of sexual dysfunction in cult leaders as well.
Well, there, I would say that all of them are.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, like, it's...
And it doesn't seem to matter.
No.
It doesn't seem to matter what religion. Because when you get some of these Hindu cult leaders or some of these Buddhist
cult leaders...
They
act the exact
same
way. Well, no,
you know,
I mean,
other
than in Tibet. But, yeah. Like, no, when you get the... what do you call it? You know, the people who took over that town in... where was it? Colorado? Wild Country was the documentary they made out of it. It was, you know, like this kind of thing happens a lot. Even when it's one based in Hinduism or Buddhism, they all end up pulling the same kind of nonsense on their people. It's very strange.
It's about power and absolute power. And the fact is the cult leaders, there does seem to be something in human DNA.
Yeah.
I think that does have a tendency to want to have, I don't know how else to explain it some days.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you can go into, but you know, not everybody is equal. The problem is, I don't know if I've told you, did I ever tell that story, but it's not even cult leaders. It's just like when you have someone who is a really good leader in the rest of it, and I can remember when we unionized at U of O and, you know, us research assistants and part-time teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I can remember talking to the chair of our department at the time who, you know, was a little upset because he took it personally. And I'm just looking at him. I said, there's nothing. You didn't do anything wrong. I said, this has nothing to do with you. I said, but the problem is the system is a dictatorship, and you function whether you don't take advantage of your position. I said, but you're still functioning as a benign dictator.
Yeah. People want to say in how things go in their own lives.
Yeah. And you, I mean, he was the least corrupt person.
Yeah.
in that whole friggin' department. And, you know, but I said, look, you know, you can't. And I said, you have to, if you want to protect yourself, and God only knows I wasn't able to protect myself in that department, but it had nothing to do with that. the last of the master-slave relationships, as I call it, sort of being in the MA program, the graduate program in any kind of a schooling system. But yeah, you have to find some way to protect yourself against the dictatorships, because it, and that's what
No,
a
but I mean,
culture
as you say, the
is.
second someone puts themselves in, like, gets put in charge of a thing, they decide that they should be in charge of every part of people's lives. They should have a veto over everything they do. And it's just in religious cults, that is because, you're in charge of people's day-to-day lives much more than you are in a university setting. That urge, because you have in a position where you can be in charge of it, you get this idea that maybe you should be in charge of it. And then you have these people like telling people what to wear, what to eat, when to sleep, when to wake up. And it becomes this ridiculously regimented thing. And of course, again, always sexually assaulting women, just at the core of it, because you feel like you deserve to be in charge of this. And they're all like that, from your truly low-end cult leaders like Charles Manson, all the way up to your Jim Joneses and your David Koresh's. They all behave the exact same way.
Yeah, they
It's
all have this.
fascinating.
Yeah, no, I mean it is truly fascinating, and why people follow them. It's but I mean it's the same. Like I can't imagine. Like I keep looking back, and I suppose I got so burned when I was so young that there is no way I kick against the can, and I guess I'm still doing it. And I always did it. I just talked to a girlfriend of mine from high school. It was really I mean, we talked for about 3 hours, but talking, and she says, "Well, I remember you, as that your parents were really, really strict." And I'm going, "Yeah."
That's fair.
But within the family structure even, you kicked at the can. Like it was there it was always questioning, and then afterwards, but I said, "Yeah, but I turned 18," and then all hell broke loose. Because that was the legal, okay.
Yeah, the legal point at
Legally, I
which
am
you get to
legal.
have all of your own say.
I get my own say now. And did I do everything perfectly? Of course not. In fact, I made some really big mistakes sometimes, but that doesn't matter. But what happens is that I have never been capable of looking at any of these people and following them without going, no,
Well, no,
I
and that's the
can't.
thing. When someone is as defiant as you are and as self-possessed as you are, like you have this problem. And I mean, and it's the hardest thing to do is to empathize with people whose motives are so completely alien to you. And you look at someone who would voluntarily sign all of their autonomy over to some man. And how could you feel anything but why?
Yeah, and it is, but as I said, and it's why when I look at the United States, for example, right now, because they've got a cult leader
Oh,
as
yeah.
the president, and I don't understand, like, I just don't understand how you can look at someone and when you know, but you see it at a smaller level, like
I
people
just want to point
want
out, for
believe.
every time you look at Trump and he's so obviously a failure and he's so obviously a scumbag and he's obviously bad at everything he's ever attempted to do. Other than, I would say
Okay.
other than lying, other than being shameless, okay?
Yeah.
His only gift is a complete lack of shame and empathy, right? And you say, how can people follow this? And I would point to you and say, people were willing to, kill and die for Charles Manson, a tiny, weedy creep
Yeah.
who, with, a reedy voice, like the least handsome man in the world. He had no, like, He has almost, he has almost nothing going for him. He's never succeeded in anything, but people want to be told, like there is always going to be a cohort of people who want to be told what to do. And at the core of this episode, that's
Yeah.
why I didn't buy the mystery and the disappearance part of the episode is this guy who seems to be charismatic enough, who
Yeah.
seems to be good at running a cult, would have no trouble putting together 50 people to follow him into the jungle. No problem at all. So why these extra steps of not pe telling people what they're doing and essentially kidnapping a bunch of people and making them think they're just going on a good works trip, and then like, no, we're staying in Tanzania. There's no reason to do that. And the thing is, you can say, well, oh, they'd be violating their visas. And I believe that they would violate their visas and lie and say they were just visiting but then want to stay. I could totally believe they would do that. But he wouldn't keep it a secret from them.
No. Plus, like, this is what I don't... Plus, it's clear that it says 23 member. Anyway, I don't know exactly how many people. But he's already got people in Tanzania who are members of his cult.
Of his church. Cult.
Of his church, right? And Tanzania isn't going to kick them out if they start producing and contributing to the economy.
Of course.
So that's fine. And to boot, you have Penelope and what's his face?
Monty,
talking about how they can't find relatives for most of these people. So nobody's going to go and get a senator to come charging down into Tanzania to find them. Because
in case you don't know what she's talking about, a lot of people were worried about Jonestown. So a whole U.S. government delegation, because they were getting a lot, people were essentially chiseling a lot of money from their family. Their family thought it was a cult. They wanted their family members back. And so they had and because they were all U.S. citizens, the government sent an actual congressional investigation. And Jim Jones's response was, let's shoot the congressional investigation with assault rifles.
And then kill ourselves.
And then we've gone too far, so we've got to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, there's no getting out of it now that we've attacked the U.S. government with assault rifles at an airport. So let's just, let's just all kill ourselves. As you said, he's even gone so far as a cult leader to only pick out people without strong family bonds. So he can be guaranteed that they'll follow him without question.
Yeah, and it, as I said, and these members, the Tanzanian members, are clearly going to go along with this. And as I said, the line is, well, they were raptured. That's the
exactly.
only, you know, that's the only, you know, and you're going, okay, yeah, right.
And if you're far enough gone to believe the raptured thing, but you honestly don't need to do the whole raptured disappearance, because like you said, nobody's looking for these people. So why don't they just move to Tanzania and stay there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at its core, the episode doesn't make sense.
And the few of them that do have family members, they could have them write letters and say, look, we're happy and we're settling and we've got a group going here. And,
we've started a farming commune. We are worshiping, we are worshiping the Lord in our own way and blah, 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 blah. So please don't worry about us. We'll be fine. Yeah, so it's like the entire premise of this episode makes no sense.
As I said, and besides, they didn't have a bullet train.
that's a whole other... funny, and honestly, that just feels like the writer saying, how far does a train go in an hour? And just Googling that and not thinking about the kind of trains they have in Tanzania and the terrain they're going across, and as you say, the trestle bridges. So it's like, it feels like someone just like Googled train speed and then just wrote it. Oh, so the Amtrak from New York to Washington D.C. goes 115 miles an hour. All right, that's what I'll write down.
Yeah, so they can do it in 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
okay.
Did you see that freaking train?
I know. Did you see the train? Did you see the terrain it was going across? No, you
did
can't
you see the
do.
Track? Did you
no,
see
it's
the
ridiculous.
Station? Like, it was ridiculous.
So no,
I don't
it's
even...
it's a frustrating episode. Let's move on to the second one. And what I would argue is, and you might disagree with me, probably the Tanzania wasn't that offensive, right? It really isn't, because we don't, as you say, you've just got one cop. We don't learn much about the Tanzanian authorities. They don't, because all of the criminals and the victims are all American, it's not like, oh, well, obviously it's the historically barbaric cultural practices of the Tanzanians that led to this crime. We don't get any of that. So
we had that nice little interlude at the beginning with everybody with their families.
That was cute, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
all
it
right,
was.
So, and let's move on to the second episode, which is as straight a Criminal Minds episode as this show has ever done.
Yeah. And it was very nice to see Paul Sorvino.
I know, but hit us with the subtitle. sorry, the synopsis.
And Ada Turturro.
Oh, of course, yeah, but you can get into that as we go.
Okay. It's called
Il Monstro.
that. It's called Il Mo, no Mo, Mostro.
Yeah, the monster.
No, I know, but I'm going. Never mind. I won't even. I'm
Okay.
not even going to go there.
All right.
You have to go on IMDb and take a look at. Anyway, when two casualties resemble the MO of the most notorious killer in Italian history, the international response team is called to investigate. Joe Mantegna and Paul Sorvino guest star.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about the real killer. They say it's like Italy's Zodiac killer, and apparently that is true, but I did not look into this. I'm just going based on what the episode told me. So I don't know if the guy hasn't actually been caught or anything like that. It's kind of icky to have the characters chasing a real life serial killer. That's something Criminal Minds has never done. That would be, the best episode of Millennium and the best single hour. Okay, well, maybe The Curse of Frank Black is the best episode of Millennium. But if not, if it is, may the second best episode and the best single hour of TV ever made about hunting a serial killer is the Millennium episode, The Mikado. And it's a masterpiece in every way, and everyone can watch it. You don't even have to know what Millennium is to just watch this and say, that's one of the best half the best hours of cop drama I've ever seen in my life. It's that good. But my point is, when it was a script, when it was turned in, it was quite obviously about the Zodiac Killer. They weren't shy about that. They were like, no, it's about the Zodiac Killer. And everything about the episode is clearly, it's about the Zodiac Killer. And then Fox said to the, not Darren Morgan, James Morgan and Glenn Wong. Glenn Wong and James Morgan. The point is, Morgan and Wong, the producers, because it was season two, the best season of Millennium, when Morgan and Wong came in and to take over, after, the rambling mess that was Chris Carter's delightful first season.
Yeah, but it
He's like,
was.
no, we need professionals to come in here and be focused, and that's what Morgan and Wong were for. So they came in and they did season two. And the producer and Fox went to them and said, you can't do an hour of television about a real life serial killer. And they're like, really? And they're like, not only is the actual killer still out there and might be watching the show, it's kind of a shitty thing to do to all of the families of all of his victims. So no, we're not going to minimize this guy's crimes by doing a silly, hour-long TV show about it. And that is why the episode of The Mikado is not technically, I mean, everything about it is the Zodiac Killer, but they don't say it's the Zodiac Killer and they don't use any details of the Zodiac Killer case. This episode is less restrained because it suggests, I mean, I'm just going to say, they say flat out, Paul Sorvino is Il Mostro. Like there's no subtlety to it. There's no second guessing. He is Italy's most famous serial killer. And that's kind of an awful thing to do for reasons I think I've made clear. It's kind of insulting to all of the real families who are suffering. But especially with a show as silly as Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, to try and take this on, especially since it is so convoluted how they get involved. Because, so in an amazing coincidence, the guy killed a couple of Americans. And that's the only reason they're working in this case. Like, the copycat killer happened to kill two Americans, and that's the only reason they have, they wind up getting called in. That's a stroke of luck.
Yeah, and then killed a British couple after that.
Yeah, but they were already. I know, it's weird that, like, both times he accidentally killed non-Italians when the original was, specifically an Italian serial killer
Actually,
who preyed on young Italians.
I
Oh,
just
you
looked
just
it
looked
up
at the case?
a little bit, yeah. And it was between 68 and 85. And 16 people were killed. And the
16,
court,
Jesus.
they never did find out who, but the courts came to the conclusion that it was more than one person.
Oh.
Yeah, that it was a group of people is what the courts, but
Damn.
they just didn't They didn't know. However, in half of the cases, what happened to the women in this episode of Beyond Borders, it was done to half of the women.
Oh, and that's why they think it might have been multiple people, because only half of the women had the twisted genital mutilation stuff happen.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I get okay. it. All right, that's interesting.
And so they said they think maybe by a group of at least four perpetrators.
Damn.
Who were convicted and later became known as the You Don't Want to Know.
I don't.
The name that they gave them.
But I'm not going to ask. No, don't even say it. People can Google it on their own. Anyway, did you just say they were convicted?
Yes. The courts reached the conclusion the murders were not committed by a single person, but by a group of at least four perpetrators who were convicted and later became known as the... And, so that's...
Oh, so they did actually catch... I mean, the government says they caught them. Okay.
Yeah, and... That's interesting. So, and there's actually a list of all of the victims, and...
So this is kind of like
there's not an American.
So the fact that but what fascinates me here is the idea that so there's a line in here saying I thought so when whoever it is Matt maybe who says I thought they caught Il Monstro and then like no actually it's like the Zodiac he's still out there so that's just a lie it's like in it's like in that episode I was gonna say episode it's the whole first season the whole first season of Prison Break. Where they're like, an integral part of the plot of Prison Break is that everybody knows who D.B. Cooper was.
Yeah.
And he's currently in jail, and that's a settled matter. I'm like, that's a weird jump to make there, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, it's really weird because they've even got a satanic cult thing in here, and the whole thing.
I always worry when Italian... prosecutors start telling me satanic cults are involved because
I remember what happened to a certain
American woman living in Italy who kind of got screwed over by their justice system.
Well, yeah. So no, there's a whole stack of things. So this has become this. There are people who actually don't want to believe clearly
that these guys did it. Yes.
And so of course there are still people. An Italian magazine published an article on the 23rd of May, 2018, suggesting that the Zodiac Killer and the Monster of Florence were the same person.
Yeah, that's not true at all.
Giuseppe Joe Bevilacqua.
I don't want to like be awful here.
Yeah.
But shooting couples in cars is a very common thing for serial killers to do.
Yeah, you know.
It's like, well, Son of Sam and Zodiac must have been the same person because they both did that. Nope.
Yeah. No, that doesn't work like that.
So, let's get to it. So it puzzles me here, right?
Okay, you've got a question.
Oh, no, I do. Is there a less difficult solve in the history of Criminal Minds than, I feel like we probably consulted on this at some point, right? Ah, it's not in the files. I wonder who consulted on it. And we all know, well, David Rossi, obviously. I mean, I don't even need to look at the credits. They sure as hell aren't going to bring, they're not going to bring Mandy Patinkin back. Yeah. And, you know, a certain Aaron Hochner just got fired. So I guess it's got to be
Joe
who swings in here for this one. And he does. And it's like, literally, he just says, oh, yeah, here's the name of the woman who knows who did it. That's the extent.
Yeah,
and they manage to do some, like, fluffing up what a great job they did on the profile back in the day. But that's all back in the day. Now, she just literally says who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the investigation. Like, well, he can't possibly go and killing new people. No, but... And this is where it gets very... He had raped his sister, who had a secret baby, and that was the new killer. And the second we found out about that, we knew who the new killer was. But it's like... So not hard to find at all this time. And especially since literally all you had to do was follow Paul Sorvino around, and you would have caught this guy right away. They just don't bother to do it. And then you get this insane thing where... They go to raid the house, and then she's like, and she gets captured. And she's like, I called for backup. And I'm like, why are you raiding houses at all? It's not, you know, you're barely legal for you people to have guns in this country. It's 100% not legal for you to be raiding houses.
Yeah,
the local cops legally have to be handling this part. Like, there's way it is legal Italian. For you to be kicking down a door in Italy.
And the Italian cop was useless? Like, he's worse than the French. Like, they treat him
like
a little bit better.
The French cops from when they were dealing with the guy who was killing women who moved to France that year. To make the statue for his speech therapist.
Yes.
Not speech therapist. His counselor. Yes.
His art therapist.
Art therapist. Thank you. Yeah. To make the you know, the interesting art installation for his art therapist. It's a weird episode. But yeah, like, but that's roughly how they treat him. It's just kind of a complete non-entity. It's like a minor obstacle at best is how
they might as well have been in America. Oh, they actually still are. But anyway, I mean, yeah. I am still astounded when we get to the next episode.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap up this one quickly.
This is going to be short after the last one we did, which was 2 hours long.
I know.
This is going to be nice and short.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry again, people, but we obviously have a lot of strong feelings about Dr. Spencer Reed. And I think we've been open about that in the past. We have strong, complicated feelings about Dr. Spencer Reed.
And our feelings about this show aren't complicated at
no,
all.
No, no, no. It's just not good. All right. So,
and we're all both watching it for the first time. Neither one of us have ever watched this show before. Yeah.
No, this is all just happening in real time. Yes, it's I mean, it is, what it comes down to is it's kind of disrespectful to the dead, which I didn't like at all. But beyond that, it is just, it's like you're watching an episode of Criminal Minds. It's weirdly easy for them to solve the case because all of the work has already been done for them.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of frustrating for someone watching the show, but it's like, we're kind of used to it too. And as a result, you're just like, well, you know, it's an episode that happened, but that's almost all you can say about it. The only thing to really sink your teeth into is you get to watch Paul Sorvino.
And Ada Torturo.
And Ada Torturo, both just having a great time.
Brilliant performances.
Yeah. They're having a great time.
They're having a great time, and they are outshining everybody else in that cast.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody else.
I mean, Gary Sinise has never impressed on this show, and everybody else just kind of like there. But the thing is, Gary Sinise, they keep, you know, giving what a good family man is and everyone respects him and blah, 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 blah. But you just lack the weight. He doesn't impress. He doesn't make an impact the way having a Mandy Patinkin or a Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, he doesn't it's funny, eh? I mean, he just doesn't. No, he doesn't have the weight of an Aaron Hochner, for God's sake.
No, not even Aaron. Yeah, not even Aaron Hochner. You know, he just doesn't have, he's just not a serious figure the way those characters were. All right, so let's move on to the third and the most Criminal Minds Beyond Borders of these three episodes.
Yes, 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 yes.
They are back to form suddenly.
Suddenly they're back to form. Because they're in Colombia, and because they can hate Latin Americans.
Oh, God, they love hating Latin Americans.
Now, here's my big takeaway from this show. Please. Is I'm going, I really am so impressed with the sets that they create for this episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, I'm sitting there. I actually went and looked to see, did they finally go off? Like, I can't imagine why they would go to Colombia. My God.
No, definitely.
After you watch this episode, they wouldn't set foot in Colombia.
No.
But, you know, but at the same time, I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the money that she must have gotten for this show.
I know.
To create these.
I mean, we talked about it all last season, and this is even better than what they were doing last year.
The art
director on this show. Oh my God.
I don't know who it is. I'm sure we could check.
Yeah.
But whoever it is just doing,
Incredible.
must have had his own money. Yeah, I mean, must have had a lot of money to work with.
Oh, absolutely.
You
No,
know,
you have to
because
assume that based on how good this show looks when they are going to these locations.
a guy by the name of production designed by a guy by the name of Stuart Blatt.
Well, way to go, Stuart Blatt. One problem, though.
Art and set, Sandy Struth and Marika, or Marika Stevens and Sandy Struth.
At the same time, the cinematography this week was kind of trash. It looked like they were filming it all with really weird quality video cameras. And I know everything is shot on video these days, but it's like, it looked like it was being shot with handheld cameras for half the time. The lighting looked weird, the color looked weird, it's looked weird, and the way the camera's moving was just strange compared to the other two episodes, which had a much more traditional look for the show. This was a very much more in-your-face handy cam kind of look for the episode, and I wasn't a fan. But it could not obscure what an amazing job they did building their fake Columbia.
It was unbelievable. By the way, he was on Dollhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He worked on Dollhouse doing the art direction there. Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was
No, it looks great. I completely agree with you. That's the only good thing about the episode.
Yeah. This episode. This episode, takes you back to Cuba.
Oh, right away.
I mean, it comes close. It comes close. God only knows next week we're going to do South Korea.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, by the way, they have had a new outbreak of COVID
oh, no.
in South Korea.
Oh.
And they've traced it to one of their dance clubs, the nightclub.
Really? All right, people, don't
they
reopen nightclubs.
They let people go out again because they literally got it down to zero.
I know, and then
whammo. Anyway, so Devil's Breath.
Yes.
Okay.
Synopsis, please.
The international response team investigates the apparent suicide of an American in Colombia who emptied his bank account prior to his death. Okay, now can I ask you a question?
Of course.
I thought you could get
scopolamine.
Scopolamine. I don't know why I can't pronounce it today.
It's a tough word.
Scopolamine. I thought you could get that in Mexico.
I thought, no. It only grows in South America.
They said it only grows in Colombia. So
well,
how
maybe even
come,
just Colombia.
Okay, so how come they were going to Mexico to get it?
Who was going to Mexico to get it?
The friends of you know, what's her face? Gia Montaigne, Lindsay Wagner. Wasn't that
Not
part of
Lindsay Wagner.
No, you know what I
Lindsay
mean.
Vaughn.
Lindsay Vaughn.
Lindsay
wasn't she
Wagner.
Going? Wasn't she going to Mexico to pick up? And wasn't he going? Oh no! I
no,
guess
no.
She
was she
going,
we. No, no. He was going to pick up unrelated brain drugs for his mother.
That
and
only
they,
grew in Mexico, and
yes.
But I thought that she was going down to Mexico to pick up scopolamine.
No, she just worked there murdering people. And then she also, and because she had such good, like, relationships with people in the murdering people in Mexico field, because that's her job, she wanted to make sure Reed was down there so it was easy to attack him, because she knew it would be in Mexico. That's all that had to do with. I'm sure
the
they just had someone, they just sold someone, they just bought the scopolamine from someone. Although you're right, we never found out how, again, had they been working with Scratch, we would know exactly how they got the scopolamine.
Yeah.
But the show, you know, never actually confirmed that, so we don't technically know how they got the scopolamine.
Yeah, I mean, I found that kind of weird that all of a sudden scopolamine shows up in this episode.
By the way, how crazy is it that scopolamine shows up in the episode and they're like, it's used by, you know, prostitutes who want to steal money from their johns. Because you can get someone in private and then, you know, brainwash stealing money. None of you is going to mention the fact that the FBI is currently dealing with a scopolamine-themed serial killer who has framed one of your agents and sent him to prison? I feel like that should come up in your talking about this drug, don't you? Isn't that the drug that is famously used by unbelievably famous serial killer Mr. Scratch? Yes, it is.
Yeah, like, you would think so.
How did that not come up?
Oh, I mean, that was, I mean, my whole thing. See, I got bogged down in the scopolamine.
Yeah. Like, why are
And
people
the
not
rest,
talking about this?
and plus I thought it worked a little, it took a little more time and it was a little more, but maybe I'm wrong. No, I
No,
guess it
the
worked.
other time they used the other time we've seen scopolamine used in the show, it also worked this way. You just blew it into somebody's face and they were instantly turned into a zombie. Remember the guy in the fishing boat who got people to stab their children and that stuff?
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was also scopolamine. Got people to
Oh
stab them
yeah, and then
children
he
and kill
just blew it
themselves.
in
People's faces.
he
No,
blew it
they've
in hot
always
dogs.
demonstrated. I don't know if that's how it works in real life, but on the show, it's always worked by just blowing it into people's faces. And that's what he did to Aaron Hotchner. Yeah, so it's like this is whether or not it works that way in real life, that's always how it's worked on the show. That is consistent. But what I'll say here is, and this is the part that I found double baffling, as I watched the show, like, how long does this scopolamine stuff last? Because we're expected to believe that the scopolamine lasts long enough for this guy, this kid, to drug a guy and say to the guy, I want you to go and find this sex worker, and I want you to take her back to your hotel room. I want to give you to give all of her money and then tell her to take the rest of the night off. And it still lasted long enough for after they've gone through all of that hassle, the woman in charge of housekeeping is still able to walk up to the guy and say, okay, now kill yourself. And it's still effective. How long does this stuff last? Didn't that seem implausible to you? Okay, I'm not overthinking
I
this
no
then. Good.
no no and I've just decided to look scopolamine
Scopolamine
up.
and how long? Because it just seems, because the tiny bit you blew in his face, I'm sure it's a powerful drug and maybe it can hypnotize you. But like they said, normally what happens is you say, oh yeah, because there's an extra step. He had to go to a bank machine and, take out as much money as he could, right? So take out $500 or whatever his daily limit is from a bank machine in a foreign country. So he had to go and do that. So he has to, after being drugged, he has to go to the car, like he has to go to find a bank machine, go to the bank machine, get as money as much money as he can. After that, he has to go find the, because remember, the sex worker, she doesn't know the kids are doing this for her.
No.
She has no idea any of this is going on. They like her and they got thrown out by, the Artful Dodger. Sorry, well, Fagin. He's the Artful Dodger, I guess. The
The
kid who's
woman
doing the
is
playing.
Fagin.
Yeah, the woman's Fagin. She got kicked out by Fagin. They all really liked her. And so they wanted to, throw her some cash whenever they can. So they say to him, and she doesn't know this is happening. She just thinks it's weird that some zombie acting guy, and this has happened twice. You'd think she'd find something a little suspicious given that they all act like zombies. But she says to him, okay, you have to go to your bank machine, get out as much money as you can, shows him a picture, find this specific sex worker who luckily isn't with a client at the moment. I mean, there's no way he could know that, but he got lucky every time. Find her, take her back to your room, give her all of your money. Right, giving her all of your money and tell her to take the rest of the day off. And that is what he was doing. He did that twice. And my point is, I feel like doing all of that would take so long that there wouldn't be enough drug left for this crazy lady to then get the men to kill themselves. So you see why I objected there, right? Okay. Yeah, I really feel like there can't possibly be enough time for that part of the plan to work.
Now, here.
Please.
Okay, I'm looking at
And I could be
scopolamine.
wrong.
Okay, it seems that scopolamine can render a victim unconscious for 24
Okay.
hours or more.
All right. But what about the
Right?
suggestibility?
In large doses. Okay. It's worn. Okay. So they use it for all sorts of things. It does leave it. Nothing here tells you.
About the suggestibility side
Well,
effect?
no, it says no, it can lead to hallucinations, lack of free will, frightening images.
Yeah.
Amnesia can occur, leaving the victim
All the
powerless
Mr.
to
Scratch
recall,
stuff, yeah.
and identify perpetrators.
Yeah.
half of emergency room admissions in Bogota, Colombia, were for Borondanga poisoning, which is what the drug is called.
There.
That was 1995. Now, scopolamine, but it's also present in gypsum weed.
Oh, really?
A plant found in most of the continental U.S. Yeah,
of course. I know what gypsum is. Interesting.
They figure probably 50,000 deaths a year come from
Jesus
overuse of scopolamine in Colombia.
Oh, my God.
These effects are oral administration, liquid or power form, powder form, not being blown into one's face.
People's faces.
Or absorbed via.
So people use it as a recreational drug.
Drug, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a date rape drug.
Yeah. Or what's the thing called? Ketamine.
Yeah. So side effects and side effects, dry, blah, 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 dizziness, even on a low dose,
just the
overdose.
I'm just thinking like the tiny amount you would inhale if someone blew it in your face, right? I can't imagine it would last that long. I mean, I don't know for sure. It just seems crazy that it would last so long that after the 2 hours it takes these people to get this guy to do all of the, like, get these people to do everything the kids want them to do.
Yeah. Right? Well, exactly. And this is what it says. This is an official type of pharmacological
statement.
Okay.
Okay.
The immediate zombie-like side effects by blowing it in someone's face?
Yeah.
That seems unlikely from a pharmacological standpoint. Others have also questioned the reports of robberies taking place when the powder is blown in or in someone's face or placed on a business card. In other words,
it probably doesn't actually happen.
Yeah, no, it doesn't actually happen. You have to drink it with alcohol. Okay. They actually have it in a patch for, of all things, oh my God. God, it's classified like belladonna.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, it apparently, clearly, it causes dry mouth, blurred vision, headache, urinary retention, Ooh. Dizziness. And they did talk about that, I think. Dizziness can occur even at the low dose used on the transdermal patch. They use it for seasickness, apparently.
That doesn't surprise me.
Still have all those friggin' side effects.
Well, you know what? I'd say that's crazy, just be seasick. But then again, I know people who get seasick, and apparently it's really bad.
Yeah, I don't get seasick either.
No,
I don't.
I mean, I can be on the out on a boat all day long. Choppy waves doesn't bother me at all. But I know people who get on a boat, and the second it starts rocking, they get, you know, violently ill. But then again, I know people who get violently ill if they try to read in a car. So.
Oh, that was one thing I couldn't.
Some people, yeah, you can't do that one?
Well, no, I started to get, well, I would get, I don't think, no, because I used to always read in the car and do crossword puzzles and the rest of it. So I didn't, except at some point I did, but I started to get migraines, but it turned out once I had sunglasses, then it wasn't a problem. So
well, that's interesting.
Do not.
So, yeah, like, I mean, so the face blowing thing is probably not true.
Yeah.
The suggestibility is it's just one of the many drugs that can make you very suggestible, like GHB, like ketamine, like sodium pentothal. There's just a ton of drugs that can make you incredibly susceptible to suggestion.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. But the whole idea that it gets blown in your face and you turn into a zombie is probably just an urban legend.
Yeah, it's one of those things, of course, that was used in spiritual rituals. Oh, and criminal minds bring that up.
What's that?
Oh, geez, they could have used this as a spiritual. So they have been listening to their first season commentaries. So going, no, it turns out, of course, it's like the one in Peru.
Yeah.
That was used in spiritual rituals. It's like coyote, right? In
I'm trying to remember
the
what's
Southwest.
The name. Okay.
And then peyote in
peyote and yes. Essentially people using mushrooms, people using DMT, stuff like that.
Yeah, the stuff that's natural that gives you this. You
people
know,
with who get the psychedelic stuff off of certain toads, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and but the thing is, it's the old story. If you just chew a little bit of it, from what I can tell from all of this, is that you don't need very much of this.
Okay.
It's almost like if you get a little bit of this, but not the,
it'll,
you know, if you ingest a little bit of this, yes, it can definitely give you the hallucinations and and be able to be suggestible.
Huh. See, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Whatever. So again, to go back to the old cult leader, as long as it's used, you know, within a constructed environment and a certain amount and certain times, and you don't do it by yourself and you don't misuse it and the rest of it, I guess it
It can be
has needs.
relatively safe.
It can have some uses, but even then its side effects are like, oh
Yeah,
my
those
God.
sound nasty. Although, again, you'd have to talk to a pharmacist or a doctor about, what is the correct dosage of this stuff.
Well,
And
no, but these transdermal is it's like 1 milligram. The active ingredient is available in a 1 milligram transdermal patch worn behind your
okay.
ear to help ward off motion sickness or post-operative
So
nausea
crazy.
and vomiting. 1 milligram transdermal patch. There's
No, that's
almost
insane.
nothing.
Yeah.
Almost nothing of this drug can
Can
actually
really,
can
yeah,
have.
can really knock you down.
It's worn
That's
for 3
fascinating.
days. The drug slowly absorbs into the skin. It's worn for 3 days and then is replaced. The low dose and slow absorption helps to prevent severe side effects in most people.
That's great.
And it's not a controlled substance, so you can just see people going out and buying these patches and then, doing what they did with Neocitrin when they were making
Fascinating.
crystal meth. Anyway,
That's very interesting.
anyway, now we know.
So now we've done a full look at the thing. Let's talk a little about
Oh,
the
we had to
crazy
talk about
lady who hates Americans.
it. Oh God. I mean,
Whose whole motivation is she doesn't like that Americans have overrun Colombia, which, fair enough.
we've seen this international response team.
Yeah, that's kind of their whole raison d'être,
Is to make
as far as
Americans
I can tell.
unpopular. Well, they want their whole raison d'être is to make Americans unpopular and make sure Americans never leave home.
Yes.
It's
Oh,
their
it's true.
goal. It's their goal to put themselves out of business.
Yeah, get the whole world, Americans all so scared they never leave their borders. Don't you understand? Every dollar they spend outside of America is a dollar that's, leaving our country. We gotta keep all of those dollars inside America or we'll never succeed.
Yeah, but that's not the reason.
No, I know. I
You
just
have
thought
to
it'd be
understand.
hilarious if there was an economic reason
Well, I'm
behind
sure
it.
there is. I am sure that deep down inside that's what
It
these
factors in.
if well, yeah, I was just going to say yes. That is the underlying raison d'être.
Yeah.
But you have to disguise it. So what you
Of
do
course.
is you make everybody afraid to leave home because they're going to be killed,
Murdered.
whatever, murdered. Anyway,
I do love the idea that it's like 200 Americans were kidnapped in Mexico in Bogota last year, and I'm like, kidnapping is really bad. But then we find out what they describe as kidnapping is either drugging someone or putting a knife on someone and making them go to their bank machine
This
and
is
get you a
called
bunch of money. That's
called
not.
being hustled.
Yeah, like I don't understand. I mean, yeah, that's an armed robbery and it's really scary, but to call that kidnapping and to call making me go to my bank machine and get you all of the money in it, paying a ransom is quite a stretch. Like
No,
that stretches the definition of that term quite a bit.
now, to be fair,
Please?
if you see, it would be okay if that's what they called it in the United States.
I
But
know.
when an American does that, it's just robbery.
Yeah, it's just robbery. It's just armed robbery. But
It's not
no, they have to
kidnapping.
over in order to make people scared to go to Mexico, oh my God, to go
Colombia.
to Colombia, they have to massively amp up the terminology for everything to make people double scared. Oh, people aren't being robbed at gunpoint, they're being kidnapped there. 'Cause when you hear kidnapped, you think of a much more terrifying thing. You feel about
Yeah.
bag over your head, thrown in a trunk, kept in the jungle until, you know,
yeah.
somebody comes up with $200,000 to pay for you. But that's not what they're talking about here. When they say kidnapping, they mean what we would call armed robbery. They overcharge everything.
Yeah.
And I would argue they probably shouldn't, because it's dishonest to do so. But being dishonest is not off-brand for this show.
No, Che Guevara was really a serial killer.
I remember
Holy
that.
Holy fucking shit.
Who just loved murder and found an and got in with that whole Cuban liberation thing just as an excuse to murder people.
Holy shit. I still.
Yeah, no, that's one of the craziest things that's ever happened on this show. Ever.
Still. Boggles my mind, and
I mean, we're a month out from having watched that episode, and I'm still kind of, whoa, I can't believe I watched that episode.
I can't believe someone wrote that episode. I can't believe that someone filmed that episode.
Well, I mean, we gotta
on the friggin' air.
We're not gonna waste people's time. We've already done a whole 45 minutes discussing how insane it is, their feelings about Cuba. Right, their feelings about Cuba, we've already gone into quite a bit. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
But here they don't even address the fact that, guess what? The Colombian guy,
yeah,
he said, well, I guess I was right. Yeah. You know, like, he was right. It was suicide. Now, that it was a complicated
drug suicide thing.
And maybe he should have looked into it a little more, because it didn't seem to make much sense.
Yeah.
Right. But other than that.
Yeah. Right? Well, and yeah, I know it's crazy because
and they make it seem like he's a corrupt cop.
I know. They just assume right away he's a corrupt cop in the pocket of armed robbery. Big armed robbery.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. It's, you know, Colombia is not like it was in the 80s and 90s anymore. I'm not saying everything's perfect down there. I'm not saying there aren't still friggin' FARC guerrillas out in the jungle.
Oh, where is Maduro?
Maduro is Venezuela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't worry. They're not going to be going to Venezuela.
Well, no, because there was a group of Americans that went.
No, they literally had a Bay of Pigs. Hasn't been in the news. There was literally a Bay of Pigs last week.
Last weekend.
and that's how crazy the news is now. There was a Bay of Pigs last weekend, and it didn't make the news.
And it's the Canadian guy that was on that team who is putting all his stuff out on the internet.
I know. Yeah, just a bunch of mercenaries, like, teamed up with a bunch of, you know, shady people who were pushed out of power in Venezuela. And they're like, let's go take over the country. And it didn't go well for them. Because how could it? That's a crazy idea.
Have you not done your history? No, they don't teach history, obviously.
No, they don't teach history.
You know, the Bay of Pigs. Remember the Bay of Pigs?
Yeah, check out the Bay of Pigs. Although, honestly, it would be amazing. I mean, I know there's no way this show can ever do it.
Yeah.
But how amazing would it be if they managed to, like, for some reason, found some crazy excuse to be like, this episode, we're going to North Korea. Imagine what this episode would like, what this show would do if they got a chance to go to North Korea, how they would treat that country.
Oh, they're going to Mexico.
I know they're going to Mexico, and I'm not looking forward to that, believe you me. But I mean, what it comes down to is Colombia is yet again another country where and you didn't get it so much in the previous episodes. We would have been harder on Italy's statement that they would have not caught Il Monstro because a woman told them who did it. Sounds incredibly horrible unless you know anything about Italy. And that is actually like, yeah, that might be real.
That might be real. Remember Lucrezia Borgia.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, literally, let's just say Italian culture, history, it's got some misogyny inherent to it. Although, honestly, you can do that exact same episode about America.
Yep.
But, like, they don't want to... my most hated episode of Criminal Minds is literally about a woman fighting against the fact that the government won't take her, like the powers that be won't take her seriously because she's a woman. And the episode, the message of that episode was they were right to not take her seriously, and she's terrible.
Yeah.
So this is more progressive because the investigator was in fact correct about who the killer was, and she's vindicated in the end. This is a more progressive episode than that season three episode of Criminal Minds that I loathe so much. I know, but it's like, but you're right. Columbia really does get the, you guys can't be taken seriously and don't deserve to be trusted with your own police system.
Oh, God,
they do
God.
Get that treatment. They do get that treatment in this episode, and it's very frustrating to watch.
You know, as if some...
come on, guys.
Come on. It's just, it's the whole focus on all of this is, you know, these guys, we're the only ones.
Yeah, we're the only ones who can be trusted to investigate things.
We're incorruptible.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
FBI's known for being incorruptible.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah. J. Edgar, God damn it. All right, so, yeah, he was the worst. He really was the worst.
Everybody should go back
damn
and watch...
American Gestapo.
Yeah, go watch Boardwalk.
What's funny is, so there's this show called Man in the High Castle, which isn't very good. Just FYI. It's not a very good show.
Okay.
It tries its hardest, but it's just not very good. But it's about, you know, Nazi-occupied America. It's based on the Philip K. Dick book, and it's a lot worse than the book. Because the book's magnificent. But anyway, the point is, in their future world, right? And what's fascinating is, so there's a character in the show who, you know... Hitler's getting up there in the years, right? And they're a little worried that, you know, who's going to take over after Hitler's gone. And so the twist is, in your season two, is the guy who wants to take over, who a guy who seems like the best guy and the most reasonable Nazi and blah, 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 is really the most evil and genocidal of them all. And if you look at who this character is, he's a ton younger than Hitler. He is, you know, primarily designed in building giant energy and giant energy projects and civilizing and moving them forward in technology and architecture and blah, 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 blah. If you watch the show, it's obvious it's Albert Speer.
Yeah, right? I was just
100% could not more obviously be Albert Speer.
Yeah.
But of course, then at the end, he turns out to be the worst Nazi of them all. Which is, and so as a result, they cannot call the character Albert Speer because they're worried somebody's going to sue them. Because he's still got family.
Yeah.
He still has family out there, so they're worried somebody's going to sue them. But in this same show, they're like, who would the head of the American Gestapo be? Who would happily be working against Americans for Nazis, surveilling everybody, and just casually murdering any dissidents? Oh, obviously J. Edgar Hoover. And they are not worried about being called that at all. So what I'm saying is the pedigree of the FBI historically is that they're the American Gestapo, but they have much better PR.
Yes. Yes.
And that is all you. And so, I mean, that's who the FBI is. And I'm not saying they don't do good things. Of course they do. But we're talking about what their origins are and what role they serve.
It was.
And so to see them going around the world saying, we're the only people who know how to be cops and everyone should conform to our methods is crazy.
Anyway.
It's crazy. All right. So what countries are we going to be dealing with next week?
God help us. First of all, South Korea.
Yeah. No, you told me about that.
Then we're going to go to Bangladesh.
Ooh, that's new. I mean, they were in India last year, so they can probably reuse a lot of the props.
Okay,
but
yeah,
still,
yeah.
That but is new.
In Bangladesh, what we're going to get, I'm sure, is I could be wrong.
Please.
But I'm sure we're going to get a lot of Muslim bashing.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to Singapore.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah.
These should be some fun episodes next week.
Okay, Pretty Like Titles. Me. Pretty Like Me. Pretty okay. Like Me. And then Made In, that's the Bangladesh episode.
Yeah.
And then Singapore is Cinderella and the Dragon.
Weird. So my question to you is, Made In, is it going to be literally an episode about how awful the slave labor garment trade is?
Well, it wouldn't
that
surprise.
It would be a daring thing for the show to actually do.
Well, no, because the show can't do that. I would love to see a show about the awfulness of the
garment industry.
Yeah.
Of fast fashion and the garment industry, and you know how people are chewed up and spit out by this awful industry. See, people who are younger than me might not know this, but here's a fun fact. Clothes didn't used to cost $3.
No.
If you wanted a pair of jeans, you used to have to spend $80 for that pair of jeans. You couldn't go and buy a pair of jeans for $12.
Yeah.
Because all of the jeans used to be made in America and Canada. And now that they're made in Bangladesh, clothing is essentially free. And you wonder, how awful must the working conditions be for clothing to be essentially free? And I'm just going to point you at the internet, because there are roughly 800 documentaries on this subject to fill you in. But yeah, it's a nasty, nasty, awful industry.
Okay, right? But you know what?
Please.
I think?
Go.
Like all of a sudden, as you're talking, I'm going, but I'm looking, the episode says two American entrepreneurs disappear on business trip in Bangladesh, so they're rehashing Japan?
No, I think it's literally going to be that people are killing them because they're exploiting the local workforce with their horrible factories.
So it'll be more like
But you're
like
right,
Thailand.
They are rehashing Japan, but I mean, we'll see what the result ends up being. I'm very excited to see how this turns out. All right, so I guess that's that. If you have any questions for us, if you have any comments, if you would like to suggest any profiling related fiction you think we should check out, drop us on at Profiling Criminal Minds. We would love to hear from you. If you were listening to this on some sort of a podcatcher or app, be sure to rate and review the episodes, because that is how other people find the show. And we'll see you back here next week for those next Tuesday. I gotta remember. Next Tuesday for the next episodes of this. And we will be back on Thursday with the start of season 13, where Matt Simmons joins the cast of the main show, Criminal Minds, thus raising the question, like, and I do remember this part, at the beginning of the next season, like, the IRT has been disbanded. Like, there's not an international response team anymore. Like, and which raises the question, does this season end with, like, some kind of a cliffhanger where something terrible happens and then it's never going to get, and it looks like the team is being shut down and then that just never gets resolved? Like the end of Suspect Behavior? Like, are we going to have to put up with another cliffhanger that never gets resolved? Only this time we don't care because we don't care about any of the characters?
Well, the end, the last episode is called The Ripper of Riga. So they go to Russia.
So probably not.
They go to Russia.
Riga's not Russia, isn't it?
No. They go to Russia.
Oh, they go to Russia. But isn't Riga... God, I feel like Riga's in another country. But I've been wrong. My Eastern European geography is terrible. Like, I can't tell you what any of the countries are. It's like, I can point it to... I can tell you where Turkey is. I can tell you where Russia is, and I know that Ukraine is the one directly north of Turkey, but that is it. When it comes to, the, like, Eastern Europe beyond that, nope, I got nothing.
Okay.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, I should tell you. Like, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, there has to be a reason why he's called the Ripper of Riga.
Riga.
Because Riga's in Latvia.
Thank you. Yes, Latvia. I knew it wasn't in Russia.
It's the capital.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's the capital of Latvia, but they go to Russia.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out why next week.
In three weeks. Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be interesting if it ends with a cliffhanger and the team being disbanded because, you know, well, Matt Simmons gets moved over to the main cast and, like, there's not an international response team anymore. So I guess we'll see. All right. So I guess that's that. We will see you back here next Tuesday for more of this, Thursday for the regular show. But until then, I just want to say thanks for listening and au revoir.
Till Tuesday.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.